7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. This week, we're taking a bit of a break from our usual programming and running a loosely themed day in the life type mini-series to provide some insight into the experiences of our members. I'm Eleanor Day, Chambers Paralegal, and today I'm joined by Susanna Johnson, a family and civil practitioner. Susanna's civil work focuses on personal injury and the effects of sexual and physical abuse, an area she's been working in as a senior junior since 2009. In the family arena, Susanna regularly appears in the High Court in complex public and private law cases, including international child abduction cases, forced marriage and court protection cases. And she is also a contributor to Family Law Journal. Susanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Maybe we could start at the very beginning and you could tell us what motivated you to pursue a career at the bar.
Well, I think I didn't really know for a while what I wanted to do. I majored in English literature for my undergraduate degree, but I always had a sense that I wanted to do something that helped other people, to give them a voice. But I think I was particularly concerned about fairness and unfairness because I'm the daughter of a woman who grew up in apartheid South Africa. And it was really hard for me to understand how that system was enshrined in law. And that was probably initially in the early years what piqued my interest. And then gradually, as I got older and I started to look at what might suit me as a career, I landed on law, began to do my own research, go into courts and try to reach out to people to find out more about it. Realised it was difficult and pretty competitive, but I thought I'll just try and get as far as I can and took it from there.
And now you've been at 7BR for some 20 years, I think. How has Chambers changed over that time?
Yes, that sounds like a really long time when I look back at it. I think it's changed in a number of ways. When I joined, we were in one building, and the buildings, the number of people have both grown really substantially. So there's been a physical change because we've expanded. We've needed more space for more members and also conference space. But I think more than that, it's become more diverse. There's a greater range of practice areas, although it's always been a mixed common law set, which is one of the things that attracted me to it. But it's changed almost beyond recognition, although I would say that consistent thread through all of that is that obviously there are people who are still here, who were there when I joined. But I do think the atmosphere remains one of, you know, camaraderie and being able to speak to colleagues inside or outside your own practice area for help. And that's one thing that really hasn't changed.
And you mentioned there the sort of breadth of practice areas. How has your practice evolved and developed over your time at 7BR? Because I think you practiced in crime, didn't you, for quite a while? Now your practice has moved towards more civil and family.
Yes, I started off, as we all did at that time in 1997, as a mixed practitioner. That was a requirement. And so we pretty much did everything that came in. But I very quickly found that my criminal practice was growing and I enjoyed that side of it. I enjoyed the advocacy, being in court a lot, and the connection with the jury. I've always done family work, but I have to say the crime took over, really. There wasn't really very much room for other stuff in the diary. But in about 2009, which coincided with me having a young child, I made the decision, partly for that reason, that it was going to be quite difficult for me to continue with crime. So I changed the emphasis to do more child and family work. And I also began a practice which has, again, grown since then in historical child abuse, which obviously got some overlap with family work, but that's a, sort of a niche area of personal injury work as well. But I would say the majority of my work is child and family work.
And what do you find particularly interesting about that area of your practice?
Well, how long have you got? There's a lot that's interesting in there. It's the children of today and the difficulties that they encounter as children today are the adults with greater ingrained difficulties of tomorrow. And through my both areas that I work in, I see it at both ends. And it's really the chance to help people in extremely difficult situations. I have to say, with parenting, a lot of the time, because I represent a lot of parents, but I also represent children. But it's a fascinating mixture, I think, of human contact, of human stories, which, of course, as members of the bar, we are really privileged to be involved with, and a mixture of law. So it's that mix that really attracted me.
Now, I have a really dreaded question. What does an average day or week in your life look like? And you can feel free to sort of do a before and after COVID comparison, if that makes it any easier.
Okay. I would say before COVID, being a mixed practitioner, so I have a mix of paperwork and I also do court work, I would come into chambers sometimes. I would sometimes work at home as well, but it would be a matter of me either in chambers or working from home. If I'm on a paper day, sitting down to do sets of papers, to do research, to write advices, to do a set of pleadings, I might be doing that several days a week. On the other days of the week, I'll be heading off to court pre-COVID. Civil cases sometimes by telephone, I would say. Family cases always face-to-face and in court. And if it's a trial, I would be travelling to a court centre, not necessarily in London, but sometimes in London. Just before the lockdown, I was instructed to represent 28 people in the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse. And pretty rapidly, decisions had to be made about how that was going to be conducted. And of course, immediately post-lockdown, many of the courts closed down, and it went from travel to court to pretty much remote almost overnight. That's the basic answer to it. There's a bit more detail that I could add.
No, please do. I mean, how have you found adapting to that kind of remote working? Because a lot of the inquiry you did in chambers, didn't you, in the seminar suite?
That's right, yes. I did a mixture of remote work and face-to-face work. What we had to remember in the inquiry is that I and many others were representing people who suffered a terrible trauma when they were children in the 1970s. And even though that's now decades ago, many of those people are really suffering today with the effects of that trauma. And so giving evidence for those people is not an easy matter. And it's not a simple, straightforward matter of people sitting at a laptop and opening it, connecting to the system, and then being asked questions by counsel to the inquiry or having a conference with me. And in consultation with my instructing solicitor, we decided certainly before the inquiry that where clients wanted, we felt it was important to be able to offer them the opportunity to meet somebody face to face. And so by that time, chambers had very quickly put in place COVID compliance restrictions and safety measures. So we were able to invite clients to the building for the purpose of conferences, but more than that, to enable them to give their evidence from chambers remotely, but with the support of their legal team being there. So some of our witnesses gave evidence that way. I gave my opening submissions to the inquiry from chambers, but I also worked from home remotely, and that meant that I was in a position to connect with my instructing solicitor who happened to be in Yorkshire, to speak to clients and to really, so we were almost up and running and straight away, and it worked really, really well.
It's clear that COVID or no COVID, you're very busy a lot of the time. So how do you strike a work-life balance? Do you strike a work-life balance?
I try to. I won't pretend that it's always easy, because sometimes the work, or if there's an urgent matter that I need to deal with, it's not necessarily going to come to me during office hours. And even if it does, if I have to prepare, that might not be during office hours. That's okay, because that's always been the case at the bar in any event. But I have found that I've needed to become quite strict at a certain point in not worrying too much if I haven't opened my email inbox, if it's, say, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, because it will ping at that time of night regularly, and often even around midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But one has to set limits for oneself and say, okay, I will deal with that in the morning, or I might look at it now, but I'm not going to action it immediately. So I think it's really about trying to set limits. And even if one has had to work late into the night, I think it's really important for the purposes of well-being and recharging batteries to take a bit of time out for myself. So that might be a small thing like having a walk at lunchtime if I've been up very early in the morning working, or even if it's dark and it's after dinner, just trying to recharge that way.
That seems like pretty sage advice. And finally then, what do you think has been the most rewarding aspect of your career to date? And what do you hope the next 20 years of your practice looks like?
I think the rewards come in different shapes and sizes. It's fantastic when you get feedback from a client or a former client, when something that you have done has made a real difference. And I was fortunate enough to have that happen to me last week when a former client passed a message to my instructing solicitor about something that, through submissions that I've been able to assist him with, which has resulted in something which happened decades ago and which resulted in a tragedy, is now going to be reopened as an inquiry of another form. And he was really pleased about that. And so it's great when you get that kind of feedback. Often we don't get feedback or a thank you, and we don't expect it, because the clients we deal with are in the middle of something that's really horrific from their point of view. But I do get satisfaction from knowing that there has been a job well done, and I've done as much as I can, and I can be satisfied that that may have made some difference to a client. As far as what the next 20 years are going to be like, that's a really difficult one. I think I would like to continue doing really good work. I'm starting to think about whether I should be advancing my career further. The jury's still out on that one, to use a cliche. But I think the idea for me is to keep progressing, to keep doing more complex work, because there's always something new that you can learn. So I think to keep an open mind about what I'm doing. This was my first inquiry that I did this year, and I really enjoyed that. And if I get the opportunity, I'd like to do some more of that.
Great. Susanna, thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of 7BR's Part Heard. For more information and to listen to all our previous episodes, please visit our website.